Hello, everybody. This is Carrie with Unicorn Company. Before I go into anything today, I want to thank my newest patron, Jamie Valerie. I know I probably mispronounced your name, and I apologize. Thank you, and thank you to all of my patrons. You help make this show possible. So, now that I've introduced all of you to Jamie, I want to go ahead and hop into the news. First of all, there is a new Wolfhound 2C premium miniature. The preview of the model looks great, and it retails for $14.99. It is currently limited to 2 per customer, and Catalyst claims to have produced 4 times as many. Up until recently, it was available in the Catalyst store. It is currently showing as sold out. It is unclear if this is being produced by Creative Juggernaut or if Catalyst has found a new supplier. On the topic of miniatures, the record sheets for all of the mechs in the Wolf's Dragoons Assault Star have been released on the Battletech download site. This means that some of those new mech variants finally have record sheets, and quite frankly, they are very frightening. Finally, on the Catalyst miniatures front, Catalyst has begun releasing blind booster packs. They are initially being released through Barnes & Noble, and it looks like it is intended that these will eventually be available to local hobby stores as well at some point. As for other news, it looks like Catalyst has released another Touring the Stars. This time it is for a world known as Rocky. The PDF-only sourcebook retails for $2.99 on the Catalyst store. So I think that covers everything in the news. Let's get into our main topic, Alpha Strike. First of all, I want to say that I filmed the first episode of the tutorial series and didn't realize how much glare came off the Catalyst card, so I'm going to need to refilm it. In the last episode, we explained the command and support lances, and also took a look at the mechanized infantry formations. Today, though, I want to take you through a couple of what could be considered core units. The first of these is one of the most powerful formations in the game, the Battle Lance. This formation comes in 4 varieties, your standard Battle Lance, as well as light, medium, and heavy varieties. All of these get the same benefit, but have different requirements. So first, we'll go ahead and take a look at the benefit, as it is the same across the board. The Battle Lance formation requires the equivalent of receives the equivalent of a lucky SPA as a level of the number of units in the formation at setup plus 2. So the awesome thing about this ability is that the lucky points aren't assigned to any particular pilots, but can be used by anyone in the formation. So let's go ahead and actually look at the requirements for the Battle Lance and its variants. So, the Battle Lance itself has the requirement of 50% of the standard Battle Lance must be size 3 or higher. If the Battle Lance is a vehicle formation, these size 3 plus units must also be pairs of the same vehicle model. At least 3 units in a Battle Lance must also be of the Brawler, Sniper, and or Skirmisher unit roles. So, for the variations, a light Battle Lance requires at least 75% of the Lance must be size 1. There may be no unit of size 4 or higher in the formation. At least one of the units in a light Battle Lance must be of the Scout role. It's unclear if this replaces Brawler, Sniper, and or Skirmisher, or if it is in addition to those, a combination of any of those roles. The medium Battle Lance requires 50% at size 2, nothing size 4 or larger, and requires no specialization. It's still assumed that it's the same as the Battle Lance as far as the required roles. And finally, the heavy Battle Lance is similar to the medium one, but replaces size 2 with size 3 and doesn't allow size 1 units, also with no additional specialization. All 3 require that if you're running them as a vehicle lance, that you have two pairs of matching vehicles of the same, of the size they each require. So, yeah. The ideal role for the Battle Lance is the Brawler. I didn't cover ideal roles last time, as there isn't one for the Commander Support Lances. What the ideal role for a formation means is that if all the units in the formation are that role, then you can ignore any other requirement. I don't know if this applies to the light, to the variations, but just to the base one. Now, why is the Battle Lance considered so powerful? It's in one thing, rerolls. So while they don't refill, and there's no way to get them back, they're arguably very powerful in the game. Depending on if you're playing standard inner spear forces, clan, or a Comstar force, you can have anywhere from 6 to 8 rerolls at your disposal. The next formation I want to cover also alters your ability to hit, and does so differently for each variant. So in this case, we will have to go over the Fire Lance and its variants separately. First, we have the standard Fire Lance. This formation has an almost redundant but very practical ideal role of Missile Bet. The requirement for the formation is at least 75% of the members of a standard Fire Lance must be either the Missile Boat or Sniper roles. So odds are, you can probably build this out just as all Missile Boats, no problem. The bonus ability is at the beginning of each turn, up to half the Fire Lance units rounded down, gain the Sniper SPA for that turn. This is based on the current amount of members in the unit, not destroyed or withdrawn. And that last part, the based on how many units are actually on the table, not destroyed or withdrawn, applies to all of these lances, or all these variants. Personally, I think this is a fantastic ability and a fantastic way to regulate it. As the Sniper SPA changes the range modifiers to +1 at medium and +2 to long, and +3 to extreme if extreme is being used. It doesn't affect indirect fire or artillery attacks, but it's very powerful with the right units. The first variant of the Fire Lance is the Fire Support Lance. For this lance, at least 3 units in the formation must have the indirect fire special ability. The bonus is that each turn up to half the units rounded down, currently on the table, not withdrawn or destroyed, receive the Oblique Attacker special pilot ability. Oblique Attacker itself is a great ability. If making an indirect fire attack, the unit receives a -1 to the 2 hit number, or the target number. They may also make indirect fire attacks without a spotter. So, or the -1 is if you have someone spotting. But without a spotter, you replace the -1 with a +2 to your target number. So, effectively, if you're standing still, you have a spotter that doesn't shoot, and... Yeah, spotter doesn't shoot, and you stand still, and let's say you're a skill 4, so it drops 1 for the oblique attacker ability, -1 for standing still, so you're down to a 2, +1 for the attack is being spotted, so effectively... It helps negate that whole spotting thing. And if you have a spotter that's shooting, effectively you're treating that spotter as if they didn't shoot. But yeah, I mean, with this ability and, you know, with or without spotters, you can strike enemy units that you cannot see repeatedly. And quite frankly, the oblique attacker ability does sort of negate the need for required reconnaissance assets, as or even just having a spotter built into the lance, because you can essentially have an active combat unit spot for you as if you were having normal X spot for you. Next is the Artillery Fire Lance. This lance needs at least two units in the lance to have the artillery special ability. The bonus is the same as the Fire Support Lance in every way, except instead of Oblique Attacker, they receive Oblique Artilleryman. And once again, it's half the units rounded down that are alive on the table. Oblique Artilleryman receives a minus one to their target number for indirect and off-board attacks using the artillery ability. It also makes counter-battery attacks against off-board artillery more effective, but I'm not going to go into all of that, as for the most part, off-board artillery is sort of a rare thing in most circles. And, it's just... it's a different and strange ability. So after that formation is the Direct Fire Lance. This formation requires at least two units to be size 3 or larger, and able to deliver at least two damage in their long range bracket. The formation receives as a bonus Weapon Specialist to up to half the units in the formation, rounded down of course, and doesn't count the destroyed or thrown units. What Weapon Specialist does is that if a standard weapon attack misses by one, it deals half damage. Checking the rulebook, I don't see how this interacts with multiple attack rolls, but in standard play, this makes units in this formation just a lot more accurate and a bit more deadly, because even if they almost hit, they are still doing some damage. Thinking about it, I'm guessing that with multiple attack rolls, you roll for all your attacks, you find all the ones that hit, do those, add up all the ones that missed by one, and round that down, and then do that. I haven't seen anything in the rulebook that directly addresses it, and it does need to be addressed in an FAQ, so I'm going to have to bring that up soon. Finally, we have the Anti-Air Lance. This unit is there to do exactly what its name implies, shoot things down. The requirement for the Anti-Air Lance is that at least two of the units must possess one of the special abilities, Flak, Autocannon, or Artillery. If they qualify, up to half the units, rounded down, not accounting for destroyed or withdrawn units, may receive the effects of the Anti-Aircraft Special Command ability during that turn. So this isn't a pilot ability per se, this is a command ability, but it affects the way that they work. So the ability gives them a minus two to hit on their target number to hit airborne targets. This includes wing and ground effect and VTOL units. The downside is that against ground units and grounded aerospace units, which includes units that can jump, they have a plus one to their target number. So unless it's part of a campaign and these guys are in a position where they're going to be defending a thing against aerospace assets, stuff like that, they seem over-specialized. So now that we are through what we could call the scripted part of the podcast, I want to go ahead and talk about something that I have started spearheading. And that is a charity raffle to benefit the Trevor Project. So first of all, a little bit of background about myself. I am a trans woman. I am very queer. And this is close to me because I grew up in a very rural area. And you just could not be out. There was no being out. If you were out, you were getting beaten up on a regular basis. And your life was a living hell. So I learned how to hide that really well, and that's how I survived. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people though, who are out that are youths who are at a higher chance of committing suicide, and they need somewhere to turn. And, I mean, it's not unfortunate that they're out, but it's unfortunate they have a higher chance of committing suicide. And, quite frankly, the Trevor Project is something that helps them. It's something that I feel very important, or is important. I feel very close to what they're doing, because, I'm going to be honest, even not being out, even being closeted when I was younger and through a lot of my years, I was very, very scared. And there were times when I thought about it, you know? But, you know, my life has gotten a lot better since then. And I want to do what I can to help out people who are in a position that I was in at one point. And, you know, people who I truly, truly understand what they're going through. So that's why I'm doing this. And what we are doing is, and the way this works, is I have been taking suggestions from the general public on what units to add, you know, to the list of what unit are we going to paint for this. So far, I've gotten quite a number of suggestions. Some of them, I will say, are better than others, probably. Not to, like, rain on anybody's parade as far as what unit's better than what unit. But, you know, there are certain units that are more geared towards either the color scheme of the Trevor Project or just doing very queer color schemes, like Clan Nova Cat G Galaxy, wink wink nod nod. But yeah, so far I have a number of artists on board, two of which are Camo Specs artists. I'm not releasing any names at this point. That is up to them if they want to, although it'll probably come up towards when this is going to be done. I don't have a specific email set up for it, so I have to go ahead and do that. But the way that this will work is, for every $5 donated to the Trevor Project, you receive one entry. And when you do your donation, they email you a receipt, and that receipt will have the amount you donated and a confirmation number. And I know what it looks like, because I went ahead and did a donation just to see what the receipt looks like, because I've never paid attention to the receipt. So, you know, basically I'll have an email to forward that to, and just forward your name with it, and I will add, you know, whatever the division by five is to your entries, and we'll go from there. Also, so far, I have been talking to Ares Games and Miniatures. I've been talking to, Steel Warrior Studios and Death Ray Designs. And I've reached out to Catalyst Game Labs. Death Ray Designs is definitely on board. I don't know about the other ones yet. I know that they've shown a lot of interest, and I'm kind of working with them as far as what do we want to do and go from there. But, yeah, keep your eyes out for information about this as far as the, you know, the raffle in general and how we're going to be doing it. I mean, like I said, it's something that's important to me, and I think that we as a community, as a Battletech community, you know, we can help out. Also, I've talked to a couple other podcasters. If there are any of you out there listening to this and you want to have me on your show to go ahead and promote this, I will be happy to talk to you, and, you know, we can go ahead and build up some support for, you know, for this. And the Battletech community itself can do something tremendously huge for children who are, quite frankly, at a way higher risk of committing suicide than any other group of kids that, you know. And it does a good thing, you know. And that's mainly what it's about. It's about doing a good thing and getting, you know, getting help to people who need it. So, yeah, that's sort of my little off-topic, off-whatever rant. I guess it's on-topic. I don't know. Also, we have a Discord server now. If you're on the Unicorn Company Facebook page, you will see a link to it. I'll have to double-check, make sure it's still there, that I didn't, like, not pin it or something, because, you know, technology and me being old. But I do have some help with getting it, I had some help getting it running. Thank you to Sarah. I don't quite know what I'm doing in there yet, but I do have a room, it's a patron exclusive room. Also, if any of my patrons want stickers, reach out to me. Get me your address. I will mail you some Unicorn Company stickers. And, yeah. So I think that's about it. Oh, also, my patrons who are getting mech miniatures, you are getting a Malthus Summoner this month. So keep an eye in the mail for that. I already have your addresses for it. So, with all of that, and no further ado, it is time to get into this episode's Mech Tech. And, oh shoot, before I get into Mech Tech, one other person who's on board, Ion Raptor has sent me four STL files, which will be included with this. So, I know Ion Raptor stuff is, it's one of those things that's kind of hard to come by, and this is going to be an opportunity to pick up four of his sculpts in this whole unit that's painted up. So, today's mech tech is the Archer. And there might be a small detour into the Bombardier. So, the Archer was originally deuced in its prototype form in 2458, carrying a loadout that we would find very recognizable in a chassis that is not quite the refined machine. Not quite the refined machine we have today. This model was replaced in 2474, 16 years later, with the 2R model. This standard production model Archer is a 70-ton fire support mech, built on a standard structure and powered by a Vox 280 fusion engine. It can move up to almost 65 kilometers an hour. Protected by 13 tons of armor, its protection was respectable for a fire support unit of its size. The Archer 2R is armed with a pair of LRM-20 launchers in its side torsos with a total of 4 tons of ammunition. In each arm, it carries a medium laser as well as 2 medium lasers in a rear torso mount. The battle value of the 2R is 1477. I'm not even going to cover the battle value of the 1A, but it's a prototype machine, saw limited use. The 2R is what everybody knows originally. The next develop in the Archer would be the Royal variant, or the 2RB. This variant entered service in 2752. The chassis is endosteel, with dropping a single rear-mounted medium laser, allows the LRM-20 launchers to be upgraded to Artemis IV guided launchers, adds case for the ammunition, and upgrades the heat sinks to double heat sinks, alleviating the cooling problems of the 2R. The 2RB has a battle value of 1705. In a way, this leads to a quick tangent about the Bombardier. The Bombardier was developed in 2735, less than 20 years before the 2RB hit the field. The Cliff Notes version is 65 tons, 86.4 kilometers an hour, 2 LRM-20s, an SRM-4 anti-missile system, 2 tons of LRM ammo. So it was made lighter, faster, and more ammo-dependent than the 2R or the 2RB. I know that out of universe, it was to show off the new goodies and technical readout 2750. But all this to show off the XL engine. This thing is a Star League era boondoggle and shows in-universe, at least, why you should beware the military-industrial complex. So, back to Archers, though. The next one I want to look at is the 4M model. I think this is a funny little upgrade, as when the Inner Sphere rediscovered Star League technology, the first thing they did was design the Royal Archer. With the only real difference is retaining the second rear-firing laser. They also upgraded this to the 4M2 variant by upgrading the standard medium lasers to ER versions. The 4M has a battle value of 1705, and the 4M2 is 1742. So after that, we'll take a peek under the 5CS's hood, a clan buster variant of the mech. The 5CS carries two LRM-15 launchers in each side torso. To achieve this, it uses an extra light engine and endosteel chassis. This freed up space allows it to have those extra launchers with a total of 6 tons of ammunition. The mech also has two arm-mounted medium lasers and a battle value of 1609. The last variant I want to talk about is the Archer C2. This is what happens when the clans get an Archer 2S and turn the damage up to 11. A fully clan tech variant, the C2 carries a pair of Artemis 4 enhanced LRM-20 launchers and a pair of Streak SRM-4 launchers. It houses a medium pulse laser in each arm and is cooled by 12 double heat sinks. The C2 has a battle value of 2167. Alright, so let's take a look at each of these in Alpha Strike. Starting with the 1A, because it's actually viable in Alpha Strike. It is type battle mech, size 3, target movement modifier of 1, movement of 6 inches, missile boat, short 2, medium 3, long 3, overheat of 1, armor 6 and structure of 6, specials of indirect fire 2 and LRM 222. Has a point value of 36. Like I said, it's actually a pretty decent trooper mech for its points. I mean, there are other mechs out there that are better than it, but when you're looking at Inner Sphere mechs, pre-clan invasion, this is actually pretty decent. So then we reach the base model 2R. The 2R comes in at 39 points. It adds a small bit of utility with stats of type battle mech, size 3, target movement modifier of 1, movement of 8 inches. It's a missile boat, short 2, medium 3, long 3, overheat of 1, armor of 7, structure of 6, specials are indirect fire 2, LRM 122, and rear 110. Like I said, the 1A is actually viable in this at the same level as the 2R, because the 2R is not much better. So after that, you have the Royal Archer. It shares most of the same stats as the 2R, with changes only in damage with short 3, medium 5, and long of 4 with no overheat, and specials of case, indirect fire 3, and rear 110. It doesn't have the LRM special ability because it's hauling around Artemis 4 LRMs, but comparatively speaking, at medium range, this thing hits pretty hard. And quite frankly, it would excel at medium range engagements. It has a point value of 45 points. Now, the 4M and the 4M2 actually have identical Alpha Strike stats to the 2RB. I didn't realize this when I started writing this, but by the time I got to this, I was not going to be changing mechs. Or variants, at least. And the same point value as the Royal Archer. So the 2RB, the 4M, and 4M2 have all the same stats. You see this a lot in lighter units, but because quite frankly, sometimes a good idea is just that, and it's worth repeating, the Free Worlds League repeated it twice. The Clan Buster, the variant of the Archer, the 5CS, is a very capable, if fragile, fire support unit. It comes in at 44 points, has a stat line of Battle Mech, size 3, target move of 1, movement of 8, Missile Boat, short 4, medium 6, long 5, overheat of 0, armor of 6, structure of 3, and specials are indirect fire 4. Where the Royal and the 4M and 4M2 can take some hits while being scary at medium range, this one wants to find a place to hide and let its friends find targets for indirect fire. It is not a medium range or even like, you know, it does not brawl at medium range at all. This thing hides and shoots over a hill. Finally, let's look at the C2 variant. This variant is terrifying in Alpha Strike. It comes in at 52 points, and while I see this making it into my Goliath Scorpion forces, I also feel sorry for anyone on the receiving end. The C2 has stats of Type Battle Mech, size 3, target movement modifier of 1, movement of 8, it's a brawler, short of 7, medium of 7, long of 4, overheat of 2, armor 7, structure 6, specials of case and indirect fire 2. As I said, this thing is god-awful scary. I mean, there's not much you can say about it. It rivals the Vulture D, I want to say, in sheer destructive power. The only difference is you are a little bit slower, which means you're going to get hit more often. But yeah, with 13 armor structure combined, it's not bad. Also, the indirect fire 2 lets it kind of plink from behind a hill or something for a couple turns and then get a target when it's nice and softened up. That's scary. I'm taking a moment. I'm seriously taking a moment. But yeah. So, I will say this. I know that there are many, many, many more variants of the Archer. I mean, there are a ton of variants of this mech. But to cover all of them in one episode would probably be an entire episode unto itself. And quite frankly, that's not what this podcast is about. I want to bring you news. I want to talk to you about stuff. I'm not Tex. And I mean, I've done something in the past on YouTube. I used to be Mech of the Day, where I would go through, and some of the videos are just really long. Because like the Marauder has more variants than there are pages in a source book. It's that, you know, there's so much information there that you just have to spend an hour and a half talking about the Marauder variants because you've dedicated yourself to doing that. But I feel that the models that we have here kind of give us a good idea of the progression of the Archer over the years and, how it evolved from its roots as a prototype fire support mech until we get to the C2, where it is just an out-and-out brawler that kicks ass and takes names. Anyway, everything being done there, I really do hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are listening on YouTube, if you like this, go ahead and like it. If you really like what I'm doing, subscribe. And if you absolutely love what I'm doing, please, please, please go check out my Patreon. You can get in as low as $1 a month. $5 a month is, I can't remember the benefits on that. I'd have to look. $10 a month gets you a miniature every month from Miffed Kitty Minis. And $20 a month actually gets you, I want to say it's 20 a month, 20-month gets you a Lance of model, a Lance of miniatures every month from MythKitty Minis. So go ahead and check that out. Also, my patrons are the ones who are going to be allowed to vote on which mech, which unit scheme we use for the Trevor Project charity unit. And I should have, hopefully, everything done before June, because the end of June is when we're going to be wrapping that up. And I'll also go ahead and keep everybody updated with information as far as how to donate, where to donate, how to make your entries, and what email address you use for that and everything else. So until next time, you all have a great day, great evening, great whatever it is where you are. This is Carrie, signing off.